Well, we made it. It's Friday, another busy week. Boy, lots going on in this province, including a cleanup on seating. A couple of spots in the province still working against that late start, especially in the east central part of the province, but making some progress, getting the crop in the ground, which is great to see. Okay, we are on the doorstep of the weekend. And speaking of the weekend, tomorrow marks the 82nd anniversary of D-Day. I remember reading an article recently that said, if Canada had not answered the call on D-Day, what kind of world might we be living in today? I thought, boy, that's a great question. Maybe one that I'll start the conversation with our first guest, General Rick Hillier, in just a second. Also, if you remember, just about a month ago, NDP MLA Betty Nippy Albright from Saskatoon Centre made the announcement that she was stepping away from her party to sit as an independent in the province. She wasn't happy with the party's direction on the Compassionate Care Act and some of the information that they possessed but weren't using. It appeared to go further than that. She later talked about just concerns generally with the NDP and their leadership. We do have Betty Nippy Albright joining us just after 9. Also, we'll dig into the AI topic again this morning, particularly the AI data center, with a local voice who has some things that she feels we need to consider in the evaluation of this project. Of course, this all in light of that AI federal strategy that was announced yesterday. It's Friday, so Bugs and Hugs at 10. It's Eatin' Time with Belton Johnson at 11. Let's get going. Here is today's Big Talker.
Let's get down to business, shall we?
Welcome. Let's begin.
The Evan Bray Show. The Big Talker.
June 6th is a day that most Canadians should know, a solemn and powerful anniversary, D-Day. June 6th, 1944, 82 years since the Allied forces stormed the beaches of Normandy, in a pivotal moment that really did turn the tide in World War II. It's a day we can reflect on the courage, the sacrifice, the determination of those who fought to defend freedom and democracy. A guest that will always be a not only a proud Canadian, but I've come to learn a great historian on our history in this country and worldwide, especially on the stage when we consider our role in World War II, is General Rick Hillier, Canada's former Chief of Defense Staff. We have a few things we can talk with General Hillier about, but maybe that's where we'll start. And he joins us by phone. General, thank you for taking our call again.
Evan, my pleasure. Thank you.
I said about this headline that I had read in an article, if Canada had not answered the call on D-Day, what kind of world might we be living in today? Do you have some thoughts on that?
Yeah, Evan, I do. But look, just leading into that, I got to say, I was in Saskatchewan for another major milestone anniversary of our great nation. And I was there on 11 April in Saskatoon with the North Saskatchewan Regiment to celebrate the Battle of Vimy Ridge and the anniversary when 100,000 Canadians went up that slope in northern France and did something no other nation could do, and knocked the Germans out of there and took that dominating piece of ground. And can I just say that when I was in Saskatoon and at that dinner, I was just inspired and encouraged by the incredible support and outpouring of support from the civilian community, from the leadership, right from the lieutenant governor down, members of the provincial legislature, MPs, businessmen and women who were all out there to, yes, mark that anniversary, yes, be proud of Canada, but yes, also to support the men and women from Saskatchewan serving in the Canadian Armed Forces and all Canadians serving in the Canadian Forces and their families. That was really touching. I just wanted to say that. Well done, Saskatoon. Well done, Saskatchewan. Well, we would have been living in a worse world by far, perhaps a world if Canada had not answered the call for the 6th of June, 1944, and all of the calls that preceded that in World War II, the Battle of Britain, the Battle of the Atlantic, the invasion of Sicily, the invasion of mainland Italy, and fighting really right around the globe there, we perhaps would have been living in a world, we can't say for sure, but we might have been living in a world where brutal dictators, murderous dictators would still dominate Europe, where the North Atlantic would be sort of our trench between them and us, and we would be living in a world that would be much lesser, much more brutal than it is now. And thank God, as Patton used to say, we should not be mourning those incredible men and women. We should simply thank God that we had them when we needed them. And on the 6th of June, 1944, we needed those 15,000 plus Canadians who who bombarded the coastline, bombed it from the air, and then almost 15,000 went ashore and assaulted directly into the face of a very, very powerful enemy force, took incredible losses, but started that movement, taking the foot off the neck of the good people of Europe, especially France, and went right through then to the 8th of May the following year, when 1st Canadian Army, more than 400,000 strong, you know, liberated the Netherlands and took the surrender of the Germans in northwestern Holland and helped end World War II and bring us certainly to a better world. Mm-hmm. They answered the call. I am so proud of them, and I think when Canadians stop and think about it, they are also proud of them and continue to remember them.
General Rick Hillier is our guest, former Canadian Chief of Defense Staff. You know, I think about, because many people will say that Canada had grown from a relatively small military power to a significant contributor to the Allied war effort, if you think back to 1944. Since then, and in recent years, there's been some slippage, and I think we've lost some ground, at least from a perception standpoint, on the stage with our military. How do you see things today? You and I have talked a bit about this, but I feel like we're starting to see some momentum, some action being put behind words and budgeting when it comes to our military in Canada.
So, Evan, I'm not going to beat up on you because I admire you greatly, but you used a word that I absolutely detest when it talks about Canada's position in the world, what we do contribute. In World War One, you know, at the Second Battle of Ypres, when the first gas attack took place, Canada stood tall. We weren't contributing. We were shaping the battlefield on behalf of the Western powers. And at Vimy Ridge, I already spoke about, we shaped that battlefield in Passchendaele. We did the same during the Battle of Britain and during the Battle of the Atlantic and during the fighting in Sicily and mainland Italy and certainly during the fighting in Northwest Europe. We were part of influencing the outcome of World War II to the better world that we have now. And over these past years and several decades, we started to talk all the time about contribution, and it irritated me no end. You know, we're a G7 nation. Hey, we're a powerful nation when we want to be, and all we needed was some leadership to bring that together. And for a period of time, we were really in the doldrums. We were contributing little tactical pieces that got really noticed by very few, if anybody. And now I think our prime minister gets it. I think the crucial advisors to him, the key advisors for him get it, that, you know, security, and this is not a pun, security trumps everything. And it doesn't matter if you want a good relationship with the U.S., a good relationship with Asian countries, or a stronger relationship with European countries. If you're not being part of shaping the world and influencing the outcome of events so that we live in a more stable area, as a military power, as a diplomatic power, as a financial power, as an economic power, if you're not doing that and upholding your portion based on the fact you're a G7 nation, you're not going to be accepted anywhere you go.
It's I love the take on it and appreciate your correction of, you know, taking the word contribute out, talk about leading. And I do hope that as we continue to emerge and we continue to make steps in this direction, that we can continue to be seen on the world stage as leaders. Let's talk about Canada entering into negotiations to procure this Global Eye, an advanced aerial surveillance system developed in Sweden, using, though, Canadian-made jets. Your thoughts on this announcement?
Well, I think in many ways, and I'll say this most positively, it was a no-brainer. And, you know, we have the aircraft that Bombardier makes. It's made, obviously, in Canada. And most of it is Canadian, if not all, if not a full up, you know, 100%. And coupled with the Swedish system, the Saab system, the Global Eye, it gives you an incredible ability to survey the landscape, to help know what's going on, to be able to communicate that what's going on to forces who could react or respond or act as we decide necessary, to commanders to make those decisions. And that's a capability we simply do not have right now. But, you know, that is not the only capability. And we just saw that's being now acquired and brought into being. And we just saw in the last several days, you know, the announcement of the acquisition of HIMARS, the High Mobility Rocket System, from the United States of America, because it is the best system in the world. And that's something our Army desperately lacks, is that long-range firepower. So those are great things. The policy that's been laid out for more spending and to do certain things are awesome things. The support from the government of Canada to do it is incredible. the budgeting process has worked. What we've got to do now, though, is turn that into just one contract after another, based on a vision for the Canadian Forces. We know where the Air Force wants to go. We know where the Navy wants to go. I understand where the Army wants to go. I'd like to have a little bit better elocution of where the Canadian Forces wants to go, and then a little bit of discussion about where we want to put our dollars and our efforts for a national security policy outside of just the Canadian Forces. So great things happening. I'm really, really optimistic. Need more contracts without the bureaucracy that slows them into 3 to 5 year processes or more. And then we need to think a little bit more, in fact, a lot more, about things like energy security, food security, pharmaceutical security, and all those kinds of things that we really need to think about in our nation. And we have not done so in detail or at all in some cases.
Is the strategy, General Hillier, when you talk about those things you just listed are very important, energy security is important, food, exports, all of those. Is the strategy really similar to what a military strategy looked like? I mean, can you replace some words and say there's a lot of kind of equation between them?
Well, I there is some of that, but here's what I would say is that security comprises much more than just military forces fighting. And just think, for example, pharmaceutical security. Somebody had told me, and I don't know if this is 100% accurate or not, that more than 95% of the pharmaceuticals used in Canada come from India. And think what, if that is even close to the truth, think what how easily it would be to interrupt that chain of supply, and think what a horrible, terrible thing it would be if it were interrupted. Think about people undergoing treatment for cancer, for example. And so we have to ensure that we have those capabilities. We talk about producing pharmaceuticals in Canada again during the vaccine rollout when we didn't have any capability domestically. And we put a whole bunch of money to it under the previous government of Justin Trudeau, and that money is all gone and nothing has occurred. We need actually to take action on those kinds of things. Likewise with the food, likewise to ensure on the energy corridors of any kind. I'm not talking politically here. I'm talking about real pragmatic stuff, which keeps, the economy moving, keeps homes warm, and keeps people alive. We have to walk through that. It's a bit different than the military thing, but the military thought process can help shape that in a very real way, and is a part of it. Not the whole, but a part of it.
General Rick Hillier is my guest. I've only got a couple of minutes left. I've got two quick things I want to cover. We've heard a lot of talk about the F-35s versus the Gripen fighter. If we take the politics out of it, if you were at the helm for the Canadian Armed Forces, do you have a preference on one or the other, or is it a combination of both platforms?
Well, my preference is based upon truly the testing and the process that occurred for the Canadian Forces when they said the F-35 is the airplane that has far outperformed anything else, and that is what Canada should have. And so I simply go with that process and say, look, I understand there are political things, under consideration here. The F-35 is the airplane. You talk about the golden eye and what it can see and do. The F-35 can do almost or the same from the point of view of the surveillance and the reconnaissance as it moves to do action to intercept or take something down. In other words, it's a sensor platform that's incredible also.
Right. Last question, General, I'll throw your way, is about the snowbirds and maybe just your thoughts. This has been a big, big topic of conversation in our province fiercely proud of and protective of the snowbirds. Do you see the kind of the rollout here of the strategy and what looks like it's going to be a pause for a few years as bad planning or a positive step?
Well, I would not put myself in either one of those extremes, Evan. I would simply say, obviously I'm disappointed. I think the snowbirds are a wonderful piece of Canada. I'm not all enthused that they're going to change recruiting and diminish recruiting by not being there, because I don't think that's the big player. I think we have few Canadian things in our country. The musical ride is one of them, The snowbirds is another. And I hate to see it go. And I worry, secondly, that if it stops flying whilst we wait a certain period of time, it'll never come back. And the last thing I will say that it's a negative point of view on, if we bring the snowbird, if they stop flying and if we bring them back, don't bring them back in a propeller-driven airplane. Go buy some extra lead-in fighters that we have to buy for whatever our next generation fighter is, and buy another 10 or 12 of those. That would help fleet management, a whole bunch of things. and would give us the kind of aircraft that I think would represent Canada well.
General Hillier, thank you so much for the check-in. As always, enjoy your weekend.
My pleasure. Thank you. Have a great weekend yourself. Bye-bye.
Former Canadian Chief of Defense Staff General Rick Hillier covered a few topics there, things that we can talk about. We've got some open lines coming up later this morning. We've got Bugs and Hugs with the 82nd anniversary of D-Day tomorrow. Certainly an important day. And I know this province has many families who have a family history of involvement with D-Day, with the war effort, and something that I'm always proud of to be able to feature on our open line segment, again, coming up at 9:30. Let's take a break. We'll be right back here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.